From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies in the book of Joshua as he brings the next portion of a message called Five Kings of Sin We All Must Slay. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from Faith's Checkbook by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, Better Farther On. The text is found in Nahum, chapter 1 and verse 12. Though I have afflicted thee, I will afflict thee no more. There is a limit to affliction. God sends it, and God removes it. Do you sigh and say, when will the end be? Remember that our griefs will surely and finally end when this poor earthly life is over. Let us quietly wait and patiently endure the will of the Lord till He cometh. Meanwhile, our Father in heaven takes away the rod when His design in using it is fully served. When He has whipped away our folly, there will be no more strokes. Or, if the affliction is sent for testing us, that our graces may glorify God, it will end when the Lord has made us bear witness to His praise. We would not wish the affliction to depart till God has gotten out of us all the honor which we can possibly yield Him. There may today be a great calm. Who knows how soon those raging billows will give place to a sea of glass, and the seabirds sit on the gentle waves? After long tribulation, the flail is hung up, and the wheat rests in the garner. We may, before many hours are past, be just as happy as now we are sorrowful. It is not hard for the Lord to turn night into day. He that sends the clouds can as easily clear the skies. Let us be of good cheer. It is better on before. Let us sing hallelujah by anticipation.
Oh,
In the 18th chapter of Luke's Gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ presented a parable to the end that men ought always to pray and not to faint. If ever there was a time when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray, surely it is now. The moral condition of our land, the apparent powerlessness of our churches, cry out for God's people to seek the Lord earnestly for revival. To encourage true Christians in the urgent need to pray, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer, free of charge, copies of a powerful message by Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest Christian leaders and thinkers this country has ever produced. The title is typical of Edwards' time, a humble attempt to promote explicit agreement and visible union of God's people in extraordinary prayer for the revival of religion and advancement of Christ's kingdom on earth. Don't let the title put you off. This is a message for this hour. In a 20-page booklet form, Edwards' sermon calls upon believers to unite in earnest prayer for God to come in reviving power upon His church. The great revivals of history have always come as the result of fervent prayer, sometimes on the part of just a few Christians who were burdened to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in revival power. That power is still available for those who will seriously seek it. To obtain your free copy of this message, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615, and ask for Edwards on Prayer. The address again is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for the message Edwards on Prayer, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy. Joshua chapter 10, verses 16 through 27, we find the record of the five heathen kings who sought to destroy the Gibeonites for having entered into a league with Israel. Dr. Cairns is using the names of the cities ruled by those kings to identify areas of sin over which Christians must achieve victory if they would go on with God. The first of the five kings is the king of Jerusalem, which means the city of peace. A false sense of peace, based on a person's own ideas, has deluded many into thinking they are right with God. But salvation must be through the merits of Christ alone. Next comes the King of Hebron, a name that means fellowship or association. Many a professing Christian has erred in thinking to enter heaven at last while walking and living with the worldly crowd or giving support to apostates. The third king ruled the city of Jarmuth, a name which carries the meaning of loftiness or pride. Indeed, pride has kept multitudes out of heaven. It is the enemy of God's people as well. In the king of Lachish, we find the characteristic of invincibility. This implies a battle against hardness of heart or against a cherished sin. Yet there is victory through the blood of Christ. Now here is Dr. Cairns to continue this message. Five kings of sin we all must slay.
You can never have peace while you're an enemy of God. It's a major part of the church's ministry, therefore, to expose and oppose this king of evil. The second king is Hebron. Now, Hebron means fellowship or association. The second great king to oppose the gospel is evil association. Now, let us go back again to the thought of a man who would save his soul, who'd be born of God and brought to heaven. If you would ever be saved, you must eschew those associations that lead to hell. In other words, to put it very simply, you can't walk the broad road with the devil's crowd and end up going through the gates of glory with the people of God. The broad way, said the Lord Jesus, leadeth to destruction. Now there are many voices of many people, many interesting people, many amusing people, many enthralling people on that road. There are entertainments galore. There's everything on that broad road that would entice you. But remember the words of Solomon in Proverbs chapter 1. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. I would say to every man and woman and young person in this place who is being led by the nose, by evil companions, and by the draw of the world down the broad road to destruction, I would say to you what the angel said to Lot and his family: escape thou for thy life. Look not behind you. Flee. Flee from evil associations. The king of Hebron is out for your destruction. There is a lesson there also for God's people. Christians must learn that this king of evil association is out to destroy their testimony. Christians must learn separation from wicked fellowship if they are ever going to serve Christ. Now, I know that this is a very, very old-fashioned message. It's out of tune with what is being preached in new evangelicalism today. This is the day when we are reaping the harvest of the stupidity and the wicked folly of the late Harold Ockingay, who invented with a few others this new evangelical credo that says instead of separation, we're going to have integration. We're going to have association. We want to have the acceptance. We want to have the intellectual and the moral acceptance. We're going to Christianize society by integrating with it. That is the basic credo of the new evangelical movement. Does not believe in separation. I tell you, it's not of God. It is not of God. In Britain, we had an outstanding example of this years ago when Billy Graham came to town. Britain's version of Elvis Presley, just as big as Elvis Presley ever was in Britain, more enduring than the Beatles, popular to this day, though now a man in his 50s, was a singer by the name of Cliff Richard. Cliff Richard is a rock singer and a pop singer, though if he puts his mind to it and wants to sing straight, he can have a very charming voice. Cliff Richard professed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The story is that he went, and I believe this is exact, he went to Dr. Graham for his advice about giving up the entertainment industry because now he was a Christian. Billy Graham's advice was to do no such thing, but to stay there. Stay there. And be a Christian in the rock industry. You may as well tell him to be a Christian in hell. Satanism rampant. Be a Christian in the rock industry. I want to tell you, the rock music was born in the pit. The rock musicians served the pit. And to tell a man to go back into it is theological folly of the worst order. You had the result of it. And the same Cliff Richard had his own show on BBC nationwide television, one of the heaviest or the most watched shows in the whole of the BBC repertoire at the time. He's a Christian, so he has to have the hymn in. Oh, happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Savior and my God. Well may this glowing heart rejoice and tell its raptures all abroad. Happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. Some Christians are stupid enough to think, my, what a witness. What a witness indeed. I want to tell you, not one person in a million heard the words. What they saw were the 95% naked women gyrating and dancing around the stage. A blasphemy to the God of purity. I want to say, no matter what a revered preacher like Billy Graham or theologians or church movements or anything or anybody else has to say, this old book teaches separation of life. Separation of life. Now, that's a message that needs to get to our fundamentalist churches. It's not enough to be separated from this ism and that denomination and that denomination if your own life is not separated. Separation of life. We're talking now personal, basic, biblical holiness. That's what we're talking. Christians must separate from wicked fellowship. You can't walk with the world and walk with Christ. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Can you? I've talked about the television. Can you spend 20 hours a week there and give the Lord 15 minutes in a week and think you're walking with God? Can you do that? Can you fill your mind with all the filth of the world, the entertainment, the music, the logic? I made a reference in this pulpit some time ago to Christians who will listen to some right-wing talk show host for 3 hours a day, 5 days a week, and then they wonder why their thinking's all wrong. He may be right down the line on economics, but I want you to get this carefully. He's a mouthpiece of the devil. When it comes to everything spiritual. And yet you have God's people, and they give hours and hours and hours. All we have Christians here. You know you do it. You would never listen to rock music. You're too holy for that. Well, thank God you wouldn't. It's a terrible folly to do so. You wouldn't read pornographic literature. Well, thank God you wouldn't. But you listen to it for 15 or 20 hours a week. I'm not an isolationist. I'm not saying you can never listen to something or somebody who's not a Christian. I'm not saying that you opt out of the national debate. I'm not saying any of that. But I'm saying if you keep on programming your brain with something that is not of God, don't think you're ever going to walk with God. It cannot be done. Separation, holiness, that's the demand of God for His people in these days. 2 Corinthians 6:14 is usually quoted about separation from apostasy. Well, it means that, but it means separation in every part of life. And what's true of the individual is true of the church. Separation. Man, if you'd said 20 years ago, in fact, if you'd said 5 or 10 years ago, what would happen in 1995 in America, people would have said you were mad. They said you were mad. It couldn't happen. When we warned people in Northern Ireland years and years ago about the dangers of the ecumenical movement and the union movement that was going on to bring together Protestantism and Romanism under the headship of the Roman Catholic Pope, we had people say, you're mad. Can't happen. Never happen. But it is happening. It is happening. And I want to tell you, it's nearer completion today than you would ever dream. It is nearer completion at this point in time than you would ever dream. You mark my words, when that happens, you will then see the screw begin to turn on anybody who takes a stand for God. You will then find that the motto of Rome has been very carefully chosen, Semper Eadem, the church that is always the same. Always the same. Hasn't changed one bit from the days of the Inquisition. Not one bit. Never will. The genius of Satan in it will not let it change. I want you to understand this. In our day, we have lived to see some of the top evangelical leaders in the United States of America sign a document calling for what amounts to union with Rome. Calling that you do not proselytize. Do you know what that means? You let the Roman Catholics of America perish in their sin. For that would be proselytizing to bring them to Christ. Men and women, we are living in a day when the barriers are broken down. We're living in a day when apostasy is rampant and the call for the church is to come out and be separate, to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather to reprove them. The second great king we have to slay is the king of evil association. The third king is Jarmuth. Jarmuth would have the idea of loftiness or heights. Third great king to oppose the gospel is pride. Pride, the king of evil. That's what led our first parents into disobedience. That's what led them to death, isn't it? This loftiness that could place them above the law of God and above the command of God. Sinners perish, we read in Scripture clearly, because of their pride. The psalmist said in Psalm 10 and verse 4, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. Man, what an eye-opener that is. How that lifts the lid off the human heart. What is it that keeps sinners from Christ? Their pride. Their pride. The wicked through the pride of his countenance refuses to seek after God. Remember Nebuchadnezzar? When his heart was lifted up, his mind was hardened in pride. God had to have him deposed from his kingly throne. That's the king of pride. What must be done to it? Slay it. How do you slay the sin of pride? The sinner comes humbly confessing his sin and his need. He comes to Christ with all that wickedness. And before the Savior, he confesses this wicked heart does not want Christ. But oh, I need Christ. And confess him and take him. Put to death the wickedness of pride.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.